The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. Wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. I'm freezing in my office. It's very cold here in North Carolina. It's like 55 degrees. I'm joined by Ryan Wilson and John Breach. What's up, boys?
Hello. Just so we're clear, Breach, you are in the South along with Brinson, one state over. I am in upstate New York. I don't have any hair and no hat on, and this moron who has hair plugs is wearing a toboggan, as we called it growing up.
And he just called 55 degrees
34
cold.
Degrees in
Are
Raleigh.
You kidding me? Were you raised in Hawaii, Brinson? My goodness.
Not all of us, Breach, are rich enough to afford central air in our offices. Okay, buddy?
Well, I have a fire going behind the camera here. That's how I stay warm, that I made myself using a rock and whatever else you use to make fires.
A stick.
You seem like somebody you want to be out in the wilderness.
I know, right? Survivor
I wouldn't here. Last 14 seconds in the wilderness.
If you're watching on YouTube, of course, we do these recaps live Monday, Thursday, and Sunday. Hit the subscribe button and mash that like button. We'd love to give away a Brinson Sucks hat tonight.
Can I ask a question?
You may.
I just found this out because December 18th is the Wilson family Christmas party. Debo, there are two football games on Saturday, the December 18th. Are we live, going live after that as well?
Wow. That was going to be talked about.
An internal discussion.
After this episode. Yeah, that was on my list of agenda items post-show.
I'm putting Debo on the spot so I can get out of the...
If you just kept your mouth shut, we weren't going to have to go live. So just...
Well, there are two games, so there's a chance we'll be doing that live as well, is my point.
We'll discuss. Yes, there are.
Do you have one of those magic Men in Black zappers where we can hit everyone?
It's called a neuralizer, nerd.
Okay. It's 37 degrees here in Raleigh. It's not that cold.
No, stop it.
I'm playing it up. Yeah, anyway. Oh, I know why you're denigrating my temperature situation.
Why is that?
Because your team is now perfectly 500 after losing to Mike. You lost to Kirby Cousins. You're 6-6-1.
I'll repeat what I said last time when I dressed up as a yellow Volkswagen bug. That was a Super Bowl for me, the Ravens game. This game was just entertainment. Now, when it was 29-0, I didn't enjoy myself. In fact, I told Debo I stepped away for a bit. And then when I returned, things were taking a turn for the better. But for 55 minutes, maybe 45 minutes, I had no expectation that the Steelers were going to be in this thing. And then the Vikings started Vikings it up.
Well, I mean, I think we talked about this in the preview. If you listen to the podcast or watch HQ, is if you engage, if you like convince the Vikings to get close at all in the second half, they will wing the ball around and turn this into a scoring fest, let all hell break loose, and let it come down to a one possession game, because apparently they're sociopaths. I don't know, Breach. What I mean, like, but it ended up being an 8-point game somehow, despite what was it at halftime? 29-26?
It was 29-0 late in the third quarter.
Well, I feel like the Vikings are the team you want to study if you want to test Brinson's game theory. That's how this all goes.
Just because it's so unpredictable.
It's so kooky and unpredictable. Every second half. This is every single week of every time they play this whole entire season. I mean, there was, when this game was 29-0, you got up and walked away, Wilson. Brinson, did you at all think this was over?
No. No, I hammered the over in the second half and then hammered the live over, and I took the Steelers plus 28.5. Very profitable game for me because you know why? The Vikings are lunatics. They will not let anyone die. They're up 23-0 at halftime. And there was no way, like, if you're a Steelers fan and you know the season's already dead, you're probably walking out on it. But, like, clearly Big Ben was going to come out and sling it around, and this game was going to turn into, and then, like, conversely, Mike Zimmer was going to run Alexander Mattison or apparently Dalvin Cook into the line. You're going to end up in a shootout. And could the Vikings hold on? They did.
Wait a second, though. Here's my question for both of you. It's 29-0 late in the third quarter. Dalvin Cook and or Mattison and or anyone else you put back there. You could put Garrett Bradbury back there. He's running for 200 yards. Why are you throwing the ball down the field that led to that first interception that started turning things around? Like, why? That's my question.
They're addicted to late scoring, like one score games. I think
the thought process there is Mike Zimmer, who loves to run the ball, was thinking, we're not going to blow this. If I run the ball in every play and we blow this because, you know, we go three and out because the Steelers are bringing up everybody to stop Dalvin Cook now, I'm going to look like an idiot. And then it happens anyway. So this was just an absolute damned if you do, damned if you don't, because it doesn't matter what the Vikings do. The end of the game is going to be crazy. Whatever the decision they make is going to be the wrong one.
I was telling Debo before you guys hopped on that, like he said, that I think they were going to win the Steelers. I mean, I wish Pat Freiermuth had caught that ball at the end because that would have been awesome. That was a great throw by Roethlisberger after 30 minutes of wholly unwatchable football. What do you say?
I mean, Ben in the second half looked like, I kind of want Ben back for another year.
Well, that's the problem. You don't know which one's going to show up. But
pretty spicy.
No, stop it. He's going. After the way, did you see the way he looked in the first half? Every time he came off the field, I was surprised he didn't try to choke Mike Tomlin. And he's like, hey, I don't know if I could take him.
I looked at Mike Tomlin like, why aren't we running screens? Why aren't we running the ball more? This is the worst rushing defense. Man, what are we doing? They figured it out in the second half. Like, what is going on? The Steelers' offensive play calling was so horrible in the first half that it surprised that Ben Roethlisberger was not taking the hospital at halftime. He got hit so hard.
I thought after the 12th sack in the second quarter that they're going to just put Mason Rudolph out there, but he keeps coming back there. He keeps taking punches.
I want the Steelers to trade 2 first round picks for Bruce Arians and make him the OC.
They had him.
They fired him.
They fired him for Todd Haley. By the way, Todd Haley, much better than Matt Canada. But what I was going to say, I was talking to Debo.
First of all, Bruce Arians retired.
According to the Steelers, not according to Bruce Arians. I was telling Debo before you guys hopped on that I didn't care that they were going to lose. It was entertaining to watch the way it finished after 29-0, because as you guys pointed out, Vikings it up. But this was basically a game between two teams that do not deserve to even sniff the playoffs. Because whoever plays the Vikings, should they find their way into the playoffs, are going to be extremely excited. No one's going to face the Steelers because they're not going to the playoffs.
Or the Vikings going to face the Packers and be like, eh, we already beat them once. The thing is, if you have a player like Dalvin Cook, you can win at least one playoff game.
You're talking yourself into things because you come from it from the perspective of a team that hasn't won a playoff. And I'm not being a jerk, a team that hasn't won a playoff game in a while. The reality is the Vikings are terrible. And they're not going to be up 29-0 against any team in the playoff, I would imagine. And the thing is, if they are, those teams are better than the Steelers, and they're probably going to find a way to lose that game. So Dalvin Cook is amazing.
They're not terrible. They're the only team in the NFL that has been up at least 6 points in every single game they've played this year. And there's something to be said for that. And Otherwise, every other team.
How many one-score games have they played, though?
12. All of them?
So, all right, Breach, let me ask you this. What is the percentage chance, or Breach percentage chance, your homemade algorithm you're cooking up?
Right.
The Vikings drunkenly stumble into the Super Bowl.
Wait, who?
They get to the Super Bowl?
No, drunkenly stumble into the Super Bowl.
How does that work?
The Vikings are in insane.
Like 1.001%. Winning their first playoff game, I think they would have a shot.
I mean, they can beat anybody or lose to anybody.
They can't beat anybody. Yes. Though.
They can't hold a lead.
I agree with that, Brinson.
Guys, that may be pretty close, but I would take the Chargers 10 times out of 10. But just think about this for a second before you start getting all up on the Vikings. Breach mentioned that they've been up on a lot
because they beat the Steelers.
No, but here's the thing. Like the first half when Dalvin
Cook. Oh,
when Dalvin Cook was running wild. That was some of the worst run defense I've seen at any level in my 48 years on planet Earth. And Troy Aikman was like, what is going on there? And I was like, Troy, I agree with you 100%. Because, I mean, Brinson is running for 200 yards in the first half behind, against, not necessarily behind the offensive line, but against that Steelers D.
Troy Aikman's line was, he goes, no, I handed off to Emmitt Smith a lot. We won three Super Bowls. I'm not sure I've seen bigger holes in my life. It's like,
that's exactly, and he wasn't wrong.
But he might not be wrong. It wasn't even a credit to the Vikings offensive line. It was the Steelers defense was garbage.
Oof, man, it was tough
to
watch.
The Steelers looked like exactly like the team that put everything into that Ravens game and then showed up thinking they could just.
No, I don't think they showed up thinking that. I think that's who they are. Like somewhere in between, they're the second and third quarter. They're not the first and fourth quarter, maybe. But here's the other part of that equation, by the way. The Vikings showed up and fooled you guys for 30 minutes. In reality, they're probably closer to the final 30 minutes.
Probably. No,
the Vikings came up like they actually watched film of their opponent. I mean, look, they did their homework. They said, hey, the Steelers have one of the five worst rush defenses in the NFL. We're just going to give it to Dalvin Cook the whole time. The Vikings also have one of the five worst rush defenses in the NFL. And it was like the Steelers didn't even know you were allowed to run the ball in the first half. They completely ignored the run and tried to throw it. And that's why Ben Roethlisberger was getting killed.
The Vikings first half was one of the best first halves we've seen from a team.
Yeah,
this year,
ever.
He dominated the Steelers. Ben Roethlisberger was like getting the snap and just and they were fumbling snaps, like high snaps.
By the way, I don't know what game Breach was watching. Najee Harris had 20 carries, and when you're down 20 to nothing, you're not going to keep running the ball. They're running the ball into the second half.
I'm talking
half.
About the first yeah. half. They weren't down.
Did you see the football game? The game was yes. over.
They were down 16 points, and they were establishing the run with a shotgun draw.
You don't give up on your game plan in the first half. They were running the ball in the second half, so I don't even know what you guys are talking about.
Look, the Steelers had no – what are you talking about, man? The Steelers had no business getting back in that game. They were running the ball, but the Vikings are addicted to one-score games. They wouldn't let the Steelers lose. It was crazy.
The Steelers were on life support. The Steelers on life support, and Mike Zimmer said, no, you cannot die. Psh, 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 wake up. Don't die yet. So they're like, all right, we'll hang around.
Kirk Cousins said that.
Breach, let me ask you this. 12 hours or I don't know, 18 hours ago, I tell you that questionable Dalvin Cook, who probably isn't, we don't think, maybe he's going to play, maybe he's going to get like 50% of the snaps. He runs 27 times for 205 yards and two touchdowns.
Mm.
Mm. What's the score?
49 nothing.
It ain't 36-28.
30-27.
Stop it. 27-20.
I mean, it's a Vikings game. I would predict a one-score game no matter what. It's the Vikings.
Why are you talking about them as winning a playoff? I don't understand where that's coming from. That's my confusion.
No, Brinson agrees with me. They can lose anyone. They can beat anyone.
They score to the third quarter. They were scoreless to the third quarter. It was a bludgeoning.
The Steelers
and ass-kicking.
That's right, but this is not a playoff team they're playing. This is actually one of the worst teams in the NFL, given the way they
played. The Steelers.
The Steelers, the way they played in the first 35, 40 minutes. I mean, they're not beating anyone. They're losing. They're down to the Detroit Lions 20 to nothing at halftime if they play that way.
Who's Brittany Dunn? I might sprinkle a little bit of the Vikings Super Bowl odds.
Go for it.
I mean, they're just crazy enough to make a run.
So I was telling also Debo, because I show up early while you guys are getting your hair fixed or whatever. I was saying that one of the things that frustrated me most about that game was Chase Claypool's stupid finger poke in the first half that negated a short gain. And it was obviously the way they're calling it now. They're going to call that. And then Chris Boyd with that stupid flex over James Washington that took what was a 3-yard loss and made it a first down because it was a 15-yard personal foul penalty for taunting or whatever they call it now. After the game, Mike Tomlin said that he benched Claypool for a little bit after that dumbass taunting finger point in the first quarter. I'm fine with him benching him. Claypool has had his moments. He had a couple huge catches down the stretch, but he's had a couple. I get he's 22 or 23 or whatever, but just
just to ask the question, and like I think Mike Tomlin's a great coach, but we have in succession Antonio Brown, Juju, and now Claypool.
What has Juju done?
I mean, Juju is
the milk crate challenge
TikToks than like being good.
Well, I mean, he has a shoulder injury that has him out for the year, but he's not, he's never been a problem on the field. He's never gotten like stupid penalties. What are you making faces for?
Juju is notorious for being too into TikTok to be.
Did you hear what I just said? I said he's never been a problem on the field. And there's, if you're watching on YouTube, you can see.
I mean, Antonio Brown wasn't really a problem on the field.
Ryan, what was your thought going through your head when you saw Chase Claypool celebrating a first down with 30 seconds left in the game when Steelers had no timeouts and time was of the essence?
And it's important. I mean, I don't, that stuff frustrates me. It's an old person who's a parent of a teenager and a 10-year-old because, you know, I get, hold on, give him the Antonio Brown award for best celebration. You want to hear what you have to say, but I'm talking. So I understand he's 23 or whatever, and that, you know, young men's brains don't develop until they're 27. But look, man, this is your job. You understand how it works. You can't be doing stupid things continuously over and over and over again. You have to get over it. You talked to Mike Tomlin about playing music at practice, and Mike Tomlin said, don't worry about that. You are at catching footballs and not making mistakes. You're making mistakes, and you're making avoidable mistakes. You're not making physical mistakes. You're making dumbass mental mistakes. And it keeps happening. He had a huge year last year. He had 9 touchdowns, was a huge part of their 11-0 start. He hadn't been there each and every week now that Juju went down. And I know, Brinson, you're bringing up AB and Juju. Juju's never been a problem on the field. He likes TikTok. He's 25 or whatever. That's what those kids do. AB, and I was, you know, it's funny you say that. I was thinking about this during the game. Deontay Johnson is a great player. He's not always where he's supposed to be. He had a drop this week and a drop last week after not dropping anything previously. But, you know, he had a touchdown that I think he dropped during this game. And you don't get that many opportunities, especially when you're down 29-0. But I the thought crossed my mind, for as crazy as AB is and for all the nonsense he does, he never made mistakes on the field. Like, you could count on AB to be there. And Tom Brady clearly thought the same thing. That's why he's in Tampa Bay. So, you know, it's a trade-off. You have to do the math. Is it worth it or is it not worth it? Eventually, the Steelers thought it wasn't worth it, in part because AB didn't want to be there. The Raiders thought it wasn't worth it because AB arrived in a hot air balloon and burned his feet off. And now the Buccaneers may have to. Chamber, by the way. What's that?
I mean, he burned his feet with a cold chamber. I mean, that's.
Yeah, I mean, he found new ways to get out of a job, and he celebrated when he got cut. We saw that also on the internets. But
I mean, I guess to your point is Mike Tomlin does a very good job of containing it, but sometimes the kids get loose. Is that
and it may be a situation where, like, as he gets older and the kids get younger, there's a disconnect. Now, he has a kid in college, I believe, who plays football. He did last time I checked. So, you know, he has some sense of that. But, like, you know, I've showed you what my 14-year-old Spotify end-of-year list looks like. Debo, who just turned 30, didn't recognize the first 20 songs in that list. So I have no chance of knowing what these kids are up to. And maybe that's the direct – maybe Mike Tomlin needs to hire a youth liaison officer or something. I don't know. I don't know what you do.
All right. Nathan, our buddy Nathan Graber in the chat, thinks my big eyebrows mean I'm reading the chat. No. My big eyebrows mean if Ryan Wilson – lifelong Steelers fan thinks that the Steelers need to hire a youth liaison. We have,
well, the Chase Claypool thing is a recurring problem.
But if you if you think Mike Tomlin needs to hire a youth liaison
officer,
a youth liaison officer,
Brinson, why are you so against the youth liaison?
I know he's trying to keep people from working.
You need a conduit there to connect everyone.
That's all I'm saying.
Is that normal?
Don't you have a youth liaison at your house to relate to your child?
But my point is, I mean, I just laid out why it's my point.
Who doesn't? I'm just kidding.
Do you have a youth liaison?
Every team has issues except for the Patriots. I mean, that's the bottom line. There, every team you could point to and say, yeah, that's not ideal. I mean, that's just the reality of it. So I don't think Tomlin's lost control of that locker room. Everyone that plays for him seems to love him. I think Chase Claypool is just a young guy who grew up, you know, 2 generations later than Tomlin, a generation and a half later than Tomlin or whatever. And maybe there's a disconnect. Maybe there's not. I mean, maybe things are different. He's playing for Mike McCarthy. Maybe they're better. Maybe they're worse. But I mean,
but you know, like Terrell Owens is doing sit-ups on his driveway. Ocho Cinco proposing to a cheerleader, like wide receivers.
Odell
crazy.
Beckham kicking the thing.
Doing the dog pee celebration.
None of those situations involve a running clock in the game.
But what I'm saying is that wide receivers do crazy things because they can be a little diva-ish. So I don't think it's limited to Chase Claypool.
I got no problem with Chase. Look, Chase Claypool is a very good wide receiver. Awesome deep threat. Young
guy. It had no effect in the game. They should have won. But the other rookie dropped the ball. Yeah, what are you talking about?
Just don't celebrate right now.
I said that, but you're acting like it's worse than the scenarios that Breach just laid out. I think, I mean, Debo might agree that Terrell Owens doing sit-ups in the driveway was probably more detrimental to Eagles fans' mental health in terms of is he going to stay or is he going to go than Chase Claypool taking 2 seconds to do the first bounce on.
Would you like to weigh in on this, Debo?
I think that was more involved with just a rivalry with the quarterback. So if Chase Claypool had an intense rivalry with Big Ben, which doesn't appear to be the case, that would be more cause for concern. And I don't know if it cost him tonight, but maybe they squeeze in one extra play at the end.
That's true. No, I don't disagree with that. Debo's just saying that because Penn State dropped a touchdown pass.
Chase Claypool also pretty big on TikTok, by the way, like 2 million followers.
Ooh.
Good TikTok for those.
So you're saying he's Juju 2.0?
Yeah. I don't know why you care about you. As someone who spends all their time on social media, the great irony is the only person that spends 95% of their waking hours on social media on this podcast is you, and you're getting upset at these guys for being on TikTok.
I have no problem with it being on TikTok.
Sounds like you do.
I would say this.
Thank you, Seth.
To Freiermuth at the end. Like, I kind of want Ben to come back.
Shut up.
That was a whip,
he can come back on whatever team you start.
Got it.
Stop it.
I think he still got it.
I mean, he threaded the needle.
He threw some big throws tonight.
I just dropped
in the second half.
So you guys can see the front angle of literally he placed it in Freiermuth's hands. I mean, it was right there. And obviously Harrison Smith made a great play.
Yeah, but Harrison Smith did a good job.
Roethlisberger could have not. There was no quarterback in the NFL who could have made a better pass. You could have equaled that pass, but you could not have made it better. I mean, he put it right where it had to be with three guys around Freiermuth. And it was, just a fantastic throw.
It was an absolute whip.
Yeah, that's a great throw. And he played great in the second half. He threw a jump ball late in the game to James Washington in the end zone that should have been intercepted, but it was I don't have a choice sort of pass. The ball fell incomplete. But again,
he had a couple of those too. I mean, three quarters, their longest play was a simultaneous possession catch that Ben just threw up. Yeah. But they were working, and his receivers were coming down with some crazy catches.
Yeah, even Claypool made a great play, and even though Brinson wants to get him canceled, but that's
okay. I love Claypool. What are you talking about?
Brinson, don't get Claypool canceled. What'd you guys think of after this? It was 29-14. Steelers score a touchdown. That I think it was the touchdown. James Washington's 30-yard catch. Mm-hmm. They cut it to 29-20. They could have gone for one and made it a one-score game, but Tomlin decided to go for two. What would you have done?
Well, let me back up. So the first touchdown they scored made
Tom was a little predictable with his analytics.
Nice people to harp on him. The first time they scored, what did it make? What was the score? Was 29-0. So 29-7. The analytics say you should go for it early on two. So they should have gone for it after the first touchdown. So it should have been 29. When it's 29-6, they should have gone for two. That's how the analytics works, because that way you know going forward, correct?
Correct.
So that's, I saw that. I said, oh, it's a 22-point game, go for two, or 23-point game, whatever it was after six. 23 points when it was 29-6, go for two, and they just kept going for one. At the end, it worked out because they got there. They didn't get it that one time. I was fine with them going for it then. I mean, you got to go for it at some point, so you're supposed to go for it earlier than later. So what's wrong with going for it then?
I agree with that. I do think that, there's the analytics say go for it there, and the part that makes sense is if you don't get it, there was still 12 and a half minutes left. If you get the ball back, you don't have to worry about scoring a touchdown, because the first three possessions, you're down 29-0. You got to score a touchdown. If you're down 29-20 and a possession fourth and five at the 25, you can kick a field goal, because so it just opens up your options. You're not limited, because you're going to need two scores no matter what if you fail. And then if you get it, obviously you're down a touchdown. I think the only advantage of the extra point, and this is something that analytics doesn't take into account because it's numbers, is that it's a one score game. You make the extra point, it's a one score game, and you, crazy things happen. The other team feels a lot more pressure in a one score game. I don't think Kirk Cousins throws a 62-yard touchdown pass in a one score game. I don't think they play as aggressively. You have a little bit more leeway for mistakes if you're up two scores, but if it's one score, I think the Vikings play a little bit more conservatively.
Yeah, right. I don't know. I know you got to break it quickly. I don't know why the math says go for it earlier rather than later. I understand that you have more opportunities, but to your point, I don't know how that's considered.
Yeah, I'm not disagreeing with. I think you can make an argument either way, and I do think that two makes sense at that point, you know. But There is something to be said for cutting a game down to one score versus two scores.
And Brinson, I know you want to take a break here, but I want to give you a little lead into after the break. I want to give Breach some props for something he said that actually made sense that happened in this game.
And after the break, we'll give Breach props. Before we go to the break, we'll throw it very quickly because he deserves this. This poor guy.
Who?
Chance Long. He benched Dalvin Cook.
Oh, no.
He's at his office party. Throw up the comment, Debo. I don't care if we get FCC'd.
Oh, what does he say?
Is there some cuss words in there?
He had to sit there at his office party and watch it the entire time. Debo, throw the comment up.
Debo ain't throwing that comment up.
Do it.
Too soft. Debo just goes silent.
Like, I'm not doing it. He used the S word in there. It's appropriate. And
worst office party ever.
Dalvin Cook, he's just checking his phone watching Dalvin Cook go for 50 points at his office party. We'll discuss.
There it is.
There it is. There it is.
Oh, man.
It's a really good chance that Brinson sucks that out of principle.
I mean, Chance, I don't know.
Ryan, read the tweet.
That hurts.
Yeah, I don't know who Chance is a fan of, but I guarantee you he hated the Steelers defense tonight. He said, "All right, Chance writes in the comments, I forgot to start Dalvin Cook in my fantasy league and had to watch him put up 200 plus at my work Christmas party. Ish hurt."
Oh, man. It's a tough scene, man.
That's a tough beat.
Hope the office party was great.
Yeah, hope you had fun at the office party.
If you get drunk enough at an office party, you don't even remember that you forgot to start Dalvin Cook.
Hopefully you got drunk enough where you forgot that you forgot to start.
What if his secret Santa present was a Dalvin Cook jersey?
You burn it as soon as you get home.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back and discuss more about this game.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
The baseball season is in full swing, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll talk waiver wire ads, drops, players to trade for, prospects who could make an impact, and everything in between. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.
Smash that like button if you're watching so we can give away a Brinson Sucks hat. And if you keep smashing the like button, we get enough likes, we can give away a Paramount Plus Christmas gift card. I'm just making things up on the fly.
By the way, I saw on the social medias, and people listening can check this out, 30 free days of Paramount Plus. So that check that true. Out. Get a look-see about that.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to move on. If you want to say some Paramount Plus things.
You move on.
And by the way, I think it's Christmas or maybe shortly after Christmas, Debo, that the Reno 911 movie's coming out. I am super pumped about that. Paramount Plus, check it out. Can't wait for that. And I was going to give Breach some props because he's talked about this several times in recent weeks. I think the Vikings got a first down. It was 2:45 to go. And I said, Tomlin's going to let this thing run down like a pain in the butt. That dude called timeout at 2:38, Breach, and it worked out perfectly. I was very proud of him. He listened.
That was
to this
a master class in timeout.
There you go.
I'm actually glad you brought that up because, great clock management by the Steelers, and the fact that they got the ball back there, or horrible clock management by the Vikings, but the fact that Pittsburgh got it back with 2:16 left. Was just, it was the best possible situation considering what had happened. They gave up the touchdown to fall down 36-20. Tomlin was perfect using those timeouts.
What was more impressive to either of you, the clock management there before the two-minute warning or Deontay Johnson getting out of bounds with 3 seconds to go on that crossing route?
Definitely Deontay Johnson, who normally drops everything. And
he doesn't drop everything.
Crazy? There was someone, a Steelers player, I don't remember who it was, just standing on the sideline doing nothing. And it looked like, I think the play was designed so that it could be like a possible hook and ladder if he got close to tackled, because they had two kind of receivers floating near him. If you watch the replay, which didn't make much sense unless it was, hey, if you're going down, you got to lateral it.
Because the Vikings play, the Lions have one shot left to beat us defense every time within 5 minutes. Like, that's what they were playing. They're like, there's no way the Steelers can score twice here. And
so here's something else that's sort of interesting. I took the Steelers -3 and the Steelers to win, lost both of those. Brinson, you and I talked about this on our weekly Wednesday night HQ hit. We both took Justin Jefferson over 95.5, I believe. 79. I took Deontay Johnson over 80. He got 76. I did get Kirk Cousins 2 touchdowns. Hooray for me, but I'm still losing money. What were your other bets?
Can we talk about the prop I got?
What's your prop, Breach?
Well, Brinson has been busting me for a couple weeks with my kicker props, and they just keep hitting. They keep hitting. Greg Joseph over 6.5 points. Easy, easy money. He had that in like, even with a missed field goal and a missed extra point, yeah, he hit it easy.
Well, I mean, if you're nailing these things as aggressively as you say you are, you need to be getting somebody to create a graphic that's like Breach's 7-0 the last
he only weeks. Bets $2 on each of these things.
So Hassel and I every week on Thursday, we're like, Breach is like, my can't miss, can't lose kicker prop. It's won the last 8 weeks in a row. We're like, has it? And Breach is like, it definitely has. Don't worry about it. Moving on. Yeah,
no one needs a fact check.
So I said when Brinson I think maybe all three of us on, I don't remember what it was, but I said that the Steelers had to win the 4 out of 5 and the Vikings had to win 4 out of 5. The Steelers, I never thought had a chance, even though they won their Super Bowl last week, which I'm fine with. So the Vikings still have to win 3 out of the remaining 4.
You know what's crazy, Wilson, is 8 and 9 might get in the playoffs in the NFC.
Yeah, boy.
What?
8 and 9 might get in the playoffs in the NFC.
Wilson.
Yeah.
You know what's happening, right?
Just
passive aggressive reach.
In the NFC.
Into believing NFC. That he might make the playoffs when he won't. When he's talking about the
NFC. He's talking about the national.
I'm not trying to convince anyone that the Bengals are going to go to the Super Bowl. They're going.
But
to
the even the NFC talk is crazy. I mean, Debo needed the Steelers to help him out by beating the Vikings.
But you have
the NFC is just is meddling.
But okay, maybe 8 wins does it, Breach. I'm not convinced yet. But still, the Vikings need to win 3 out of 4. I feel like to enhance their chances. They have 2 Bears games, and let's say they win both of those, then they have to beat both the Rams and the Packers. How confident are you that they can pull that off?
I think they can win one of those. I mean, the Rams
that's 3 games.
Wallygag. And they already beat the Packers once. I'm not going to pick them in either of those games, but I do like, I would feel
30% that they win 3 or 4. Where are you at?
Yeah, like 40%.
I'm at 17% that they win 3 or 4.
I do think it's more likely the Vikings beat the Bears twice than the Washington football team beats the Cowboys twice. Obviously.
Yeah, no, that's okay.
Washington's 6 right now.
I'm at 1% for the Steelers winning 3 or 4, even though we're not talking about them right now.
The Vikings routinely kind of like poo their pants against the Bears late in the season.
But even if that happens with Washington, Debo's Eagles are still sitting right there. So,
well, but that's the other part, is that Washington and the Eagles still play each other twice. So if they split, that's another loss for each of those teams. If the Eagles sweep, then you add 2 losses to Washington and Philly's 6-7 right now. So it's a whole thing because they play each other twice.
All right, well, let's play the game. We have Washington, San Francisco, the 6-7 seasons we sit here, Minnesota, Philly, and you can add Carolina, Atlanta, the Saints if you want to. I wouldn't, but you can. Pick 2 teams to get the last 2 playoff spots, because I think the first 5 are probably pretty much in stone.
I can't. That's too difficult.
I refuse.
Reach is not looking at the schedule.
I know. I think the 49ers. I think the 49ers absolutely. They still have to play the Falcons and Texans. I think.
I think the Vikings are at best 2-2.
Right. That's where I'm at. Like, that's best case scenario.
And
right,
that gets into 8-9.
And we're sleeping on.
That's a pure sweep of the Bears.
Right. And we're sleeping. I mean, Justin Fields is coming back, and we're sleeping on the Bears not maybe having some luck. And also the fact that every single game is a 1-score game for Minnesota.
So that's 8-9.
So they're not.
I think San Francisco with a lot depends on at Bengals this week, then Falcons at home, at Titans.
I think if the 49ers
beat Rams,
if the 49ers beat the Bengals, I think they're a lock for the playoffs.
Well, they have 2 wins on that schedule, it looks like. You said you said the Texans and who else is on the schedule? That's easy.
Texans and Falcons both at home.
Okay, so California. And then they have to win one more. Is there one more win on there? The Bengals and who else?
The Bengals, Titans, and Rams. And
it's also possible that at Rams game is like the Rams are locked into the fifth seed and they don't want to play anybody because McVay won't play anyone in the preseason.
Where's the Titans game?
In Nashville.
Okay.
On a Thursday. So they have to fly across the country.
Well, halfway across the country.
If the 49ers somehow go 2-0 the next two games, which is not crazy. And also, Kyle Shanahan hates the Falcons. But we'll kill them.
Brenton rivalry game. No, dude. Here's his ugly head.
We are betting Kyle Shanahan against the Falcons.
Teams should hire you to find a rivalry in each every week.
It's called analytics, Wilson.
Brentonlytics.
Also, the Titans.
Okay, so I think we're leaning San Francisco. So what about the Washington's at 6, and then you have Minnesota, Philly, Carolina, Atlanta.
Washington's at 6, and they still play the Cowboys
twice.
And the Eagles. I
mean, Washington can win the division, but probably won't.
I think Washington's going 2-3 over the final 5.
So you like the Vikings more than Washington over the final 4.5 weeks since the Vikings already played one game?
I mean,
I just don't trust this Vikings team. And maybe
What team do you trust, Ryan?
Debo's Gardner Minshew.
In the NFC.
I might trust the Eagles.
I was going to say, would you rather have Gardner Minshew or Jalen Hurts as your quarterback?
Shut up.
Yeah, it's crazy. No, Hurts opens up this offense and makes him dangerously in terms of the rush. Like, Washington at home, Giants at home, at Washington, Cowboys at home, right?
Debo, what if I told you that the Eagles will make the playoffs, but it's going to be a 50-50 split with the quarterback situation, and sometimes they're on the field at the same time?
I'll take it.
Okay.
All right.
If you told Debo, like, hey, Debo, you have to cut off your left leg, but the Eagles make the playoffs. He's like, sure, sounds great.
I don't know. He doesn't like the quarterback controversy nonsense, and I don't want to perpetuate it, so I was just throwing that.
Yeah, Minshew hurts, not controversy.
You're perpetuating it. I think either Washington or the Eagles, one of those two teams, gets to 3 more wins, which would put them at 9. So I think 8 is a slight possibility, but I feel somehow it's going to take 9 wins to get that final wild card spot.
I think you need, I agree. I think you need to be 9-8 to make the playoffs as a wild card. This NFC East thing is shaping up exactly like last year, where who's the lunatic who sits their starters to screw the other guy in week 18?
Let me ask you this. And I know you're into revenge games, Brinson, and Breach, you're into a lot of random stuff you think affects games. What about Mike McCarthy coming off the COVID list and announcing that he's going to beat Washington?
Idiotic. What are you doing?
Just keep your mouth shut. Did the COVID make him say that? Is that what happened?
COVID didn't make me do anything.
Sure, we need watch that Marvel movies. But I mean, yeah, like, why would you say that? What he said wasn't crazy. He just said, we're confident we're going to win the game.
He just said it out loud.
But just don't say it, bro. Just don't say it.
And then, you know what? If you lose, you look even dumber. That's the other problem.
Yeah.
All right.
He's got Jerry Jones on his heels.
If they don't make the playoffs, if that somehow happens,
do you have to
fire him?
They're making the play. 8-4.
There's a path.
There's a path.
By the way, shout
Ryan,
out to...
what if Washington wins? What if Washington beats the Cowboys?
Well, that'll be hilarious. Then what do you mean in terms of? And you're not going to fire Mike McCarthy. I'm sure that Jerry Jones is
on board. If Mike McCarthy misses the playoffs, he gone.
He's not missing the playoffs. What I was going to say is shout out to I think it was the Pick 6 podcast Twitter feed for showing the path for the Lions could still make the playoffs. I love it. And they used the word path in the tweet.
There's so shout out to those guys.
What are you talking about? So I don't know what the odds are. I'll look them up real quick in a second. But Dallas, I'm going to guess, missing the playoffs.
Dallas has a very good chance of making the playoffs.
It's like it's got to be 98%
this week at Washington. It gets a little tricky.
Well, don't worry, Mike McCarthy guaranteed the win, so it's all good.
I mean, would you want Mike Tomlin guaranteeing a win going to Baltimore?
No, Mike Tomlin said
on the playoff race
when the Steelers started like 0-2 way back 2013 or something, and Tomlin said they're going to unleash hell. They went like 0-5 or something. I was like, all right, quit.
Exactly.
We don't need to hear about
exactly. And this is Mike McCarthy, the guy who showed up at training camp, was like, I don't know if you guys have ever seen this movie. It's called Austin Powers. And he dropped the, like, major mammoth. Like, what are you doing?
No, and, leave alone.
But leave him alone. He's guaranteeing a win going to division, like in a division game on the road.
You guarantee a loss.
Insanity.
I feel like Dallas fans are okay with it.
Unless they
win. I would not be okay with it.
And then you're just mad at him.
Like, what's the upside?
By the way, Dallas's chances of making the playoffs, according to Football Outsiders, 99.4. So that's why he saw that and he said, you know what? I'm going to keep guaranteeing wins till we get to the playoffs.
He's probably going to get as a wild card. If they lose the division, Jerry ain't going to be happy.
No.
Are they 7-1?
8-4. What are you talking about? What?
What were they at one point?
Oh, I don't think they were 7-1. That sounds ambitious.
No, I think they were 6-1.
Oh, okay. That's not far off. All right. My bad.
They were up there.
Yeah, 6-1.
Four of their last six.
No.
They were six and one and lost on the last second field goal to the Buccaneers. Otherwise, they would have been 7-0. And then their losses have just been they've gotten dismantled. I mean, even the overtime Raiders game, the Raiders dominated for
the
Broncos. Yeah. I mean, people are asking questions about the Dallas offense.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I get it.
And Mike McCarthy's guaranteeing a win.
It's Mike McCarthy versus Mike Zimmer.
It's a real Texas double down by Mike McCarthy.
I will say this. Football Outsiders has Washington as 28.8% chance, but Debo's Eagles at 40%. So they like their schedule a little better. And Minnesota was 35% before tonight, so that's going to go up. And who are the other teams in the mix that we like? San Francisco. Wow, San Francisco is 81% to make the playoffs. Very interesting breach.
I mean, their schedule.
My 49ers.
Their schedule's very friendly.
Your 49ers. I would not put any money on the Minnesota Vikings to make the playoffs.
I can't believe how much you hate the Vikings, Ryan.
Breach, you said the words left your mouth that they've been up by 6 or more points more than any of the team in the NFL, I believe is what you said.
There wasn't a better bet than the over. And like betting against the Vikings in the second half when they have a lead.
Yeah, that's the follow up. That's the punchline. And they're going to
get scored on. They're going to be in a close game.
And the Steelers are not a good football team, and they almost lost to them.
So are the Ravens a good football team if the Steelers beat them?
They don't do the transitive property right now.
I'm just asking Ryan.
The Ravens have questions, but the difference is that I feel better about the Ravens than I do about the Vikings.
The Ravens haven't scored more than 20 points in like 5 weeks.
A month.
Yeah, it's crazy. And
coincidentally, the last time they did score more than 20 points, it was against the Vikings.
Breach talking on himself.
Mm-hmm. In overtime?
Yeah. The Vikings blew a lead in that game, though.
These wild card races are about to get weird. Like, there's going to be some bizarre tiebreaker stuff happening at the end of these wildcard races because everything's so snug. Like if you told me Indy could end up being the 5 seed in the AFC, that wouldn't be
they're
crazy.
8 right now. Here they come.
I would be petrified to play the Colts in the wildcard round.
Yeah, they got to get there first.
I'd be petrified to play the Vikings in the wildcard round. You got to hit a field goal to win.
I would embrace it. That's the other thing I meant to mention, by the way. Breach is talking up his Greg Joseph bet. If the Steelers weren't so terrible in the first half, Greg Joseph would have got cut at halftime because he honked the first field goal attempt, and then he missed an extra point. And that is a recurring theme with him, I feel like.
Oh, very recurring. He already cost in that game against the Cardinals when he missed a mid-30s-yard field goal on the last play of that game. And you were totally right, Wilson. And then he went and made the rest of his kicks. So Vikings fans they're like, that's the last thing we need to worry about. Right. He was fine. He rebounded. And then next week, the same thing's going to happen, except his miss is going to come in the fourth quarter with 40 seconds left.
All right. Let's get out of here. Don't have enough likes for a giveaway. That's fine. We'll do it the next time on Sunday. The end of the week recap would be Sunday Night Football.
Ryan, are you going to burn your Steelers clothes?
No. Why would I burn them? I'll save them for when they go to the Super Bowl.
Ooh, the 49ers beat. Oh, I might buy a 49ers jersey.
2031?
Show up in a 49ers jersey?
You could do that.
Not Joe Montana.
Oh, that breaks back bad. Breach
a Joe Montana jersey would really troll you? Is that what you're saying?
Rachel Snap. I wonder what breech snapping looks like.
Oh, boy.
I beat you to the 49ers paraphernalia here, man. I already got it.
Anyway, thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. We will have a giveaway at the next primetime game. See you guys later.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Dan Orlovsky, are you still a Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback available in the draft guy?
I think the three things that make it stand out for me are, number one, I think his ball placement versus man coverage is the best in the draft. Every quarterback in the NFL is accurate. He's got the best on tape. Number two, most transferable stuff to the NFL. And then I think the third thing is pocket peace.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.